Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Let's begin with Thought Leader Thursday. Brett McKittrick is here this morning, Senior Vice President, Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
I want to begin with mental health. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a national conversation, I feel like, a new one about mental health with the mass shootings that we've had, and there's been a discussion of mental health being a part of that. I want to talk about how our companies treat mental health when employees have issues that need to be taken care of. Does our health insurance cover mental health, and is it adequate enough?
Yeah, all great questions. And you're right, you know, organizations of all types, all employers are becoming more and more aware of this because many of the physical symptoms that you might see with a physical illness do not manifest themselves with a mental health condition. So sometimes it's known as a hidden or sight unseen type of a problem. Then when they do manifest themselves, it's oftentimes in a way that significantly affects that individual at work or their ability to be at work. And so one of the first things organizations can do, and a lot of it is about reducing the stigma associated with a mental health condition that does exist here in America. But one thing an organization can do to make sure that their employees feel the support of the organization in this way is checking their health plan to see what is covered. There is something called a Mental Health Parity and Addiction Equity Act from 2008, which basically said all large group health plans, if they cover mental health conditions and services associated with them, must do so at the same rates or with the same parameters that a physical illness may have. Now, with that being said, what insurance companies may also do to kind of circumvent that law or circumvent that rule is to maybe place restrictions on the standards of care that are necessary and the tests that you have to pass, for instance, in order for something to be covered.
Give us an example of what you mean there.
Sure. So, and by the way, what I'm about to say is not the norm, but it can exist. And this is why we recommend companies really understanding their health plan and the types of benefits that are offered. But there's a young woman who suffered from anorexia, and she was unable to get treatment from a mental health provider in this area because she did not meet the minimum weight requirement that the health plan had said she must get down to before they would treat it or cover the cost of the treatment.
Right. So where do we even begin with this? I guess it would be like a frank discussion with the HR, or do we just dive into our insurance documents and try to find it ourselves?
Yeah, no, I think, obviously not. I mean, that is what HR is there for. That's the human resources partners, your benefits consultants and advisors, often third-party agencies. This is what they exist for. So absolutely, if you are an employee, for instance, you go to HR, or if you have a dedicated hotline about your benefits, you can go there. From human resources perspective or from a finance perspective at an organization, if you're a professional, this is about understanding who you work with and the type of benefits that are offered and what's really hidden there.
And this could be kind of a treacherous area to wade into, can't it? I mean, there are all kinds of restrictions about legal restrictions about what you can and cannot talk about. Correct?
Well, there are from a HIPAA standpoint or a privacy standpoint, absolutely. And so, you know, there are secure and private ways of having a conversation. If you are an employee and you don't want to tell your boss or your HR director that you're going down this way, most insurance plans do have ways where you can contact them and get in touch to understand the benefits that you might have.
At the very least, don't most companies have something called an employee assistance plan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes that's built in with the normal health insurance plan. Sometimes it's a standalone plan. But that employee assistance program or plan, or an EAP as they're often called, it could be merely just a referral service, or they can actually offer certified and licensed coaches and counselors that can help people with mental health conditions.
Oftentimes we hear that the stigma with mental health is one that kind of keeps people from talking about it openly, mm-hmm. from even seeking help in some cases. What responsibility does an employer have to, let's say we do have the benefits that are there in place, to create an atmosphere where information is being shared, but also where the, it's okay to have a conversation about it.
Yeah, and it's tough, and it depends on the culture of an organization. And quite frankly, some organizations are more parental than others. Mm-hmm. But it really will behoove an organization who cares about their employees to try to educate their employees, whether it be through their wellness program or just sort of on their own, about the stigma of mental health in general and about awareness. So, for instance, hey, here are five, quote-unquote, warning signs to watch for. And oftentimes, mental health conditions are easily treated and are treated, but could be exacerbated by some event, stress at work, bullying at work, mm-hmm. harassment at work. These are other things that an employer can do to try to mitigate to help all employees.
Yeah, it goes back to that culture issue. Mm-hmm. There are lots of things that you can do to change the culture. God forbid there's something at work that's actually causing the mental health problem.
Yeah.
But the culture can be a big step in the right direction.
It absolutely can.
Talk to us a little bit about the Americans with Disabilities Act and how that plays into this conversation.
Yeah. So this is, again, on that HR side of things. You know, the Americans with Disabilities Act is designed, number one, obviously, if you're any employer, you can't discriminate against someone with a chronic medical condition or something designated as a disability. But if you're over 16 employees, the ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act, says you as an employer must accommodate a disability or chronic medical condition unless it poses an undue burden or hardship on your organization. So if I have a chronic back problem and I go to my organization, say I need a new chair or a stand-up desk, they probably got to do it. Okay, that $1,000 it costs, man, that's not an undue burden, for instance. If 95% of my job is to drive a truck and I have some now permanent disability that prevents me from being able to drive, there's not really an accommodation there that the employer can offer me. You know, the ADA never makes an employer gut the essential functions of a job. But it is a two-way street. And so what's called the interactive process is where if an employer should know of or is the attention is brought to a particular problem, the employer is not charged with diagnosing that condition. They're not charged with being a doctor, but there is paperwork that they could fill out or have the employee fill out and go to their physician or medical provider who will then diagnose a condition, tell the employer whether it's protected under the ADA. Then the two, the employer and employee, can have a back and forth interactive process and a conversation about what they can do to maybe accommodate that condition so that person can be more productive and more present at work.
Would a mental health issue qualify under the ADA?
It absolutely would. Now, the problem there is it's often hard to recognize and sometimes even difficult for the individual themselves to recognize.
So let's say that, again, on the mental health part of this, do all of the different protections then follow? So if I were to develop a mental health problem, would I be able to take leave from work? Would that qualify under the Family Medical Leave Act?
Yeah. So that's okay. That's another thing. The Family Medical Leave Act protects that person's job and the benefits while that person's away for a serious illness or injury for themselves or others, for that matter. But if I had a mental health condition and it required me to be away and go to an inpatient treatment center, that would cover that. Conversely, and which what we see oftentimes is it might be in a more intermittent nature. So I have to go to counseling three times a week in an outpatient setting, and the only time my counselor is available is during the hours of 1 and 4. Well, yeah, you probably, as an employer, need to let me have that time off without any kind of reprimand or any bad things happening.
These are the kind of conversations you have with companies, right? This is how you help companies understand not only where they may be deficient, but how they can help.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, a large portion of my job is helping organizations deal with ill and injured workers.
Let's switch gears here and talk a little bit about marijuana. The recreational marijuana law, it's soon going to be legal here in Illinois. We've already had medical marijuana legal. How is this going to work? The question being, there, like for instance, here in Chicago, there's discussion of putting a marijuana, recreational marijuana boutique on Michigan Avenue, not very far from where we're sitting. Will I be able to go on my lunch hour and get high or have something like this and come back to work or at night in the next? How is this going to play out in the workplace?
Yeah, first check with your boss, you know, he or she may. But no, it does create a very unique and interesting problem. Obviously, alcohol is legal and I can consume, but alcohol doesn't stay in the system very long. So if in the new Illinois law, for instance, doesn't allow people to be high at work, employers can still obviously place that restriction. And so it's pretty obvious if I'm driving a fork truck for a living and I have an accident and there's a post-accident drug test and it says I have this in my system and I've looked and acted high, okay, I can, I have to deal with those consequences, right? Now, conversely, and to your point, think about a pre-employment screening, for instance, which is legal here in the state of Illinois and most other upper Midwest states. An employer may drug test me on, on a condition that, I conditioned a job offer based on whether or not my employee, future employee, passes that drug test. Now, if I test positive for THC, well, that could stay in an employee's system for, weeks, even months. How do we know that that person is under the influence right then and there? Mm-hmm. And so, actually, this new law has a series of warning signs and markers that employers really need to look for if they are doing a reasonable suspicion drug test for a current employee. All the manifestations that you might think about that someone may exhibit if they were under the influence. And without those, they really can't test or hold that against the individual.
I foresee a lot of lawsuits potentially coming from this, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. It just opens up a whole new world for for our plaintiff attorneys, but it also provides, I guess, even a thinner tightrope for the employers to walk down.
Yeah, and it may be one of those situations, again, even I don't even think doing it on a Friday night would help if you didn't have to be back until Monday because, again, those tests can pick up stuff that's been in there for weeks and months.
It is, and it's true. And by the way, this is legalized, so this falls under the use of lawful products laws in general, which says I'm allowed to smoke cigarettes and use prescription drugs and drink alcohol and now possibly smoke marijuana.
But it is important to remind people that if you show up at work drunk, I mean, it's sort of the same thing, right?
Yeah, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. And so the law doesn't allow an employee to do that, and an employer can still obviously have those restrictions. It's just a finer line and, quite frankly, more of a gray area now.
So talk to us a little bit as we close out this morning on I know the future of health insurance is up in the air. We're heading another presidential campaign where we have all kinds of new proposals about health insurance. Mm-hmm. What are the trends that you're seeing here? What do you think might shake out?
Well, it is completely up in the air, and it seems like we say that every time I'm on here. But a couple of things. Number one, under current administration, the executive branch did prescribe and we talked about last time on our show, the Treasury Department to allow for, kind of the first time ever, what's called an individual health reimbursement arrangement, where any employers, and we see maybe smaller employers, saying instead of offering employees health insurance, we're going to offer you money to pay for individual coverage. And that money is given to you in a tax-free manner. So in other words, they get that tax benefit that they would get as if they were getting that group-sponsored coverage. This goes into effect 1/1/20. We'll have to see how the industry responds. We'll have to see how popular it will be with employers.
Doesn't it sort of coexist with the Affordable Care Act, though? To be successful, don't you have to have plans you can get into cheaply?
Yeah, you do. But here's the rub. Okay. This individual HRA, as it's called, and this money that an employer could provide for its employees tax-free is not available for exchange plans, for health insurance exchange plans. That's the IRS saying we don't want someone to be able to double dip because those exchange plans, any individual taxpayer would be eligible for a premium subsidy tax credit. And if they're getting that, they don't want the tax-free benefit over here. So this is really limited to those individual plans not sold on the exchange, which in many states are just, quite frankly, very expensive.
What will happen let's say a Democrat is elected, or even if it's a Republican, and suddenly we find ourselves with Medicare for all or health care for all, and everybody's covered and all of these private plans go away, does your job become easier at that point? Does all of this conversation become academic?
My job does not become easier anytime there's change, ever, yeah. Anytime there's change like that. But on the other hand, what it will really do is change the game from a recruitment and retention standpoint for employers. Mm-hmm. When you think about this, outside of salary, health benefits are the largest dollar spend for an employer in terms of attracting and retaining top talent. What will happen then as a result if we do go to a single-payer system, for instance? I don't know. We'll have to see.
Interesting. So there may be more bonuses or more vacation or some other HR benefit that we don't even think about right now.
There might be, yeah.
Brett, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. First name Brett, B-R-E-T, dot my last name McKittrick, that's M-C-K-I-T-R-I-C-K, at AssociatedBank.com.
Thanks for coming in. We'll see you next time.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Brett McKittrick, Senior Vice President, Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. He's our thought leader today. We do thought leader conversations every Thursday here on the Opening Bell. You can find more of our conversations at WGNRadio.com on the Opening Bell page. Follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter and head over to AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership to read more about our thought leaders and hear more conversations there as well.